Welcome back to Techonomics. I am Jason Middleton. Now we have the conclusion, the second segment, the part deux, if you will, with ESPN's Ryan Garfant as we discuss the massive audience and appeal that esports is bearing out. League of Legends, we'll swing it back around because I know that your home base right now is Los Angeles, and that's where the championship for League of Legends will be late October, right?
Yeah, October 29th in LA. So the way that the tournament works for the World Championships is it starts in San Francisco, like we said. Then that's for the round robin matches. And this is structured much like a FIFA World Cup, where you have a group stage where they all play each other. Certain points, they collect points, they get out of the group stage. They go to the quarterfinals, which is, I believe, October 13th through 16th in Chicago. The semifinals is at Madison Square Garden in New York on October 21st and 22nd. That's sold out. And then Staples Center is the World Championships. What we were seeing earlier this month is on StubHub, the most searched for ticket of all tickets, including NFL, was for League of Legends World Championships at Staples. It sold out in minutes.
Ryan, you're coming off some serious numbers you just dropped right there. I think one of them was 338 million. So how did we get this big? I mean, this is mission critical kind of data.
Yeah, I think those numbers surprise a lot of people because it's relatively new in North America. This industry really started in South Korea. In the mid-90s, South Korea had a recession, and like a lot of governments do, they invest in infrastructure. But instead of building roads and railways, they built broadband. And very quickly, South Korea became the most connected country in the world. And as a result, since everybody has high-speed internet and good computing, the online gaming world really blossomed there. And from there, it went to China and exploded there. And then from there, it went to Europe. And North America is really the last on the food chain for this. So this community of online gaming and serious competitive professional gaming really started, you know, west to east.
Ryan, you were kind of at the forefront of ESPN's involvement in esports as well. I wonder if you could give us what you saw from that perspective, in that maybe it's a market/business opportunity, identifying a growing audience, and honestly, ad revenue opportunities as well. Could you tell us how you saw that and got it ramped up?
Sure. Gosh, I want to say 3 years ago, where they did have the World Championship Finals at Staples, and our offices are right across the street, and it was chaos outside. Just the amount of people, the enthusiasm for this, and we felt like we needed to be in this space. These are stories that we know how to tell. I mean, the structure is very similar to professional sports leagues. These are human stories about competition. So this is a very familiar space for anybody who covers sports. Over the course of the next year, we learned that there were enthusiasts in every part of our company, and it took some coordination to get us all together, and we decided that, you know, we need to be in this space. We know it. And so in January of this year, we launched the esports section at ESPN.com, and it's done very well. I think that this is a community of highly connected people. We needed to make sure that we were credible within this space and not sort of like this behemoth and without direction. And I think that we've made some really good hires, and we have a very strong team of very credible people covering this. This is all stuff that we know how to do.
Right. Forgive me if I'm wrong, or correct me if I'm wrong, actually. Would X Games be something, or the way the X Games was presented on ESPN.com and even on ESPN, the broadcast, would that be something similar to how you're approaching esports with ESPN?
Yeah, X Games actually was one of the first within our company to kind of turn on the lights to the possibilities of this. X Games partnered with Major League Gaming, and they had a Call of Duty competition 3 or 4 years ago. And at each subsequent X Games, they've held competitions within their X Games. And I think it felt like that was sort of a nice match because X Games is rather experimental. Internally, that sort of let people know that this is something that's very popular. So within our walls, it started at X Games, yes.
Okay. Let me ask you like a good summary question, because, again, we're relying on your expertise being one of the pioneers in the field, if you will, at least for bringing it to the masses. I mean, this is a growth industry, a growth audience for sure. And what do you see, if you had to prairie dog the horizon, if you will, what are you seeing coming down the pike for e-gaming and esports?
Yeah, esports in general, I see it going to parallel the traditional sports leagues. Right now, it's a little bit of a Wild West where there aren't a lot. There's no collective bargaining. These are young professional gamers who are making a lot of money, and there's not a lot of agent representation. Every time a team loses a major competition, you see a lot of trading, a lot of disassembling of teams. So there really isn't a lot of loyalty to teams over the course of their careers. A lot of gamers will move from team to team a little bit too often. And these are actually physically moving out of houses and into other houses. But I think over time, and as more mainstream investment gets in the space, you're going to see it actually act like the mainstream. So here's some news, actually. The multi-esport organization Team Liquid sold its controlling interest to Warriors co-owner Peter Guber. You're getting guys who know traditional sports investing in the space, and so they're going to expect it to mock what they know.
Right. And in fairness, that owner did make a lot of money in tech, so he probably sees this coming as well.
He's not, I mean, line up. I mean, right now there's Rick Fox owns Team Echo Fox, Andy Miller and Mark Mastrov and Shaq, and A-Rod and Jimmy Rollins are all partners, and Team NRG, which competes in five different games. Manchester City and West Ham have signed esports stars. So is Bundesliga Team Wolfsburg. I mean, these guys, there's a lot of money to be made in this space, and there's a lot of opportunity, and so you're seeing some traditional sports guys get into it. So I think that you'll end up seeing the playing field look much more familiar than it does right now.
Okay, Ryan, who should we be watching for the rest of this tournament for League of Legends?
The team to watch is SK Telecom One. They're out of South Korea. And the best League of Legends player in the world is named Faker. He's a rock star in South Korea. He can't go anywhere. He is considered the Michael Jordan of esports, if you want to say that. And he'll be on the team that's the favorite to win. He's the only player to win two Summoner's Cups, which is the world championship trophy. They'll be the team to watch. South Korea and the Chinese teams are usually the top tier.
Okay, championship round, L.A. Staples, October 29th. Where's Ryan Garfet going to be?
I will be at Staples Center editing like I normally do. It'll be a lot of fun.
Twizzlers, maybe a big gulp of some soda. What are you going to be? What's your dashboard look like that day?
Some Red Bull. It's honestly, the reason why we're here is because these are stories we know how to tell, right? So we'll have, you know, a few writers in the building. We'll be tweeting and following it on social. And then when it's all said and done, we'll write our recaps and do our columns on the winners and losers. And it's what we do.
Ryan Garfet, thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the tournament. Good luck with the coverage. And let's talk again soon.
Great. Thanks a lot.
That was Ryan Garfet, a senior editor at ESPN.com. For more links on League of Legends, the month-long tournament, the links to Twitch, YouTube, and yes, of course, ESPN Gaming, check out our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/Techonomics Radio, or give me a follow on Twitter. I'm at KGO Jason. Now we're going to pay the bills, but after this short break, we talk financials with someone who knows, an expert consultant for corporate chief financial officers. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Please come on back after these. And it's a moat you can't cross, a key you can't get, and done the right NPC subquest. Yeah.